Well, good evening, everyone. It's nice to be back with you. I'm just going to grab a drink of water. I'm really thirsty. Tonight, I want to look at not one specific scripture, but really at the life of a person. His name is Peter. We're all familiar with Peter. He's actually someone that we probably can relate to fairly easily, at least in some of the things he does and some of the predicaments he got himself into. And a lot of times we can be critical of Peter, saying, well, he shouldn't have done this, he shouldn't have done that. But really, I'm not much different than Peter. Actually, I'm pretty much the same. So we can learn some things from his life. I want to start in John chapter 13. We're going to look at his time with Christ, just the near the end of Christ's life, just before he was going to the cross. Peter had some important lessons to learn. And as he walked with Christ, it's interesting to watch the chosen 12 as they walked with Christ through his life and how Christ was teaching them, and yet how often they misunderstood and didn't get the point of his teaching. And at one point, he warned them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they started reasoning among themselves, thinking, oh, it's because we haven't brought bread. And Christ knew their thoughts, and he spoke to them, and he said, no. Don't you remember the five loaves and the 12 baskets that were taken up afterwards, the feeding of 5,000, and the 7 loaves and the 4,000 and the 7 baskets that were taken up afterwards? And then they understood he wasn't talking about bread, but he was talking about the teaching, the doctrine of the Pharisees. So why was Christ saying that to these men that were walking with them? Well, obviously, the Pharisees still had a big influence in the way they thought and the way they understood things. And Christ, while he was with them, actually in front of them, called the Pharisees hypocrites. And so they had to learn some things. They had to learn some things about who Christ was while he was walking with them. They still quite didn't understand who Christ was. And Peter learned some things in a very difficult way. So let's go to John chapter 13. And we're going to read just a few verses here. And to get the full picture of this, I'm going to go through different Gospels and pick out some verses that will give us a more complete picture of what's happening. It's interesting, when you look at the Gospel writers, they all had a purpose in writing. They were all presenting certain events that happened while they were walking with Christ, and certain things, they were quoting certain things that Jesus said as they walked with him. And each one chose maybe different parts, sometimes of the same event, and if we look at them all, it gives us a fuller picture. But if you look at the purpose for each writer, you realize why they chose those things to tell us in their account. So, John chapter 13, verse 36. And this is while Christ was with them in the upper room, and it's called the Upper Room Discourse, while they were together. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Because Christ has just been telling them he's going away. And Jesus answered, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. So here's Peter making a very bold statement. I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me 3 times. That's quite a statement to say to Peter at this point. Peter has just said, I will lay down my life. Peter said, Jesus said, no, you won't. You'll deny me 3 times. Let's just pray and ask the Lord to help us. Our Father, we just thank you for the scriptures that you've given to us, the accounts we have in the Gospels of the life of your Son while he was walking here on earth, and the life of the men that walked with him. And Father, as we look at Peter and some of the things that took place near the end of your Son's life here on earth, we just ask you, open our minds and hearts to what you're trying to teach us, and that we would receive it with joy, and we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So here's Peter's bold statement. I will lay down my life. I don't know if you've ever made a statement like that, a very bold statement, and then regretted making it because you didn't actually do what you said. But here's Peter saying, why can't I follow you now? I'm going to lay down my life. I will lay down my life for your sake. And Jesus has to tell him something that Peter didn't know. That actually, Peter, you're not going to lay down your life. You're actually going to deny me. Before you would lay down your life for me, you're going to deny me. So, and he said, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. So they're in the evening. Who knows when the rooster crows? Morning? How early in the morning do those crazy things crow? I mean, I hear them. I spent 25 years almost listening to these crazy birds. Why is it 3 and 4 in the morning that they do this? Don't they know they're supposed to wait for the sun to come up at least? But oftentimes you hear them at night. But anyway, it's early morning. So they're in the evening, and Christ has just told them, before the rooster crows, you're going to have denied me. Well, that must have been a shock for Peter to hear. And right after that, right after he said that, he said, let not your heart be troubled, in chapter 14. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he's speaking to the disciples. Okay, you guys believe in God, but believe in me. He's been telling them this all the time. He only does the works of his Father. He only says the things that his Father tells him to say. He and his Father are one. He is trying to get them to understand who he is. And at one point, he asks Peter, who do men say that I am? Well, they said, some say you're Elijah and one of the prophets and whatever. But he said, who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the anointed one. You're the one that is sent by God. You're the one we're waiting for. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. Not only was the Messiah, he said, you are the Son of the living God. And Christ said, it wasn't flesh and blood that told you that. That was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. And here he is saying, I'll lay down my life for you. And Jesus says, you'll deny me. But he said, but don't let your heart be troubled. It's interesting, this follows this statement that Christ makes with Peter. Don't let your heart be troubled. Why is that? You believe in God, believe also in me. That's what he's telling them. You need to believe it also in me. So let's just go for the next, let's go over to Luke chapter 22. And Luke adds a little bit of detail that we don't have in John. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said to Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me. You will deny three times that you know me. And he said to them, okay, we'll stop there. This is a little bit of detail that Luke adds that wasn't in John's gospel. This is the only place we're going to read this about Peter. Jesus says to Peter, Satan, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Satan had his eye on Peter. Why did he have his eye on Peter? Why was he asking for Peter? In heaven, in the throne room of heaven, Satan made a request to God. He said, I want Peter. You give him to me. I want him. And it's interesting that Peter is the one who wrote something in his epistle about our adversary, the devil. And he said he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Where did Peter learn that lesson? Well, he learned it here. So Christ tells Peter, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But then he says something really important. He says, but Christ says to Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. I don't know if you're getting the impact of what Christ is saying. I've prayed for you. Satan wants you. He wants to sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail. But you're going to deny me. Because when you have returned to me, he says, when you have returned. In other words, Peter, you're going away. You're going to turn your back. You're going away. But when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. I don't know, have you ever felt like a failure? I don't know if you, in your life, if you've ever felt like a failure. Sometimes I get this overwhelming sense of being a failure. And I don't know why that should surprise me, because that's what I am in my own person, really. But sometimes we get this overwhelming sense that we're a failure. Peter hasn't had that sense yet. But Christ has told him something. He said, you're going to deny me. Three times, you're going to deny that you know me. Peter said, I would go with you both to prison. See, he adds something here. To prison and to death. So Peter's willing to, you know, I'll go to prison with you. I'll even go to death with you. And Christ says, no, you won't. Before the rooster crows, you'll deny that you even know me. And Peter couldn't believe these things that he was being told. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 26. And we'll start reading at verse 31 in Matthew 26. And as I said, each writer is adding a little bit more detail, a little bit more understanding to what was really taking place here. And in verse 31 of Matthew 26, then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. So here's a little bit more information. Christ actually quotes Zechariah, the prophet, and he basically is telling them, what Zechariah said so many years ago, he was saying about you guys and about me. And he says, what does he say? He said, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. All of you. Not one of you will not stumble because of me. You'll all be offended because of me. Because Zechariah said, I will strike the shepherd, Christ, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. This little flock. You guys. This is talking about you guys. He's bringing this prophecy all the way forward. But he said, but after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Now, Peter speaks up again. Now, imagine all of us in this situation. We're sitting there, and Christ just tells us all, you're all going to stumble because of me this night. And he quotes the scripture like Zechariah here, and he said, I will be smitten, but you guys will all be scattered because you're going to run away. You're going to abandon me. And Peter says then, so imagine that's us, and I say, even if all these guys do, I will never do that. How would you feel? Well, that's exactly what Peter did to the other guys. He says, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Yeah, these guys, they might, but not me. Not me. I'm not going to stumble. And then the Lord says, yes, you will. You're going to even do worse than these guys, because before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. It seems like Peter has a bit of a problem believing what the Lord Jesus is saying to him. He can't accept what Christ is saying. Now, has Christ ever been wrong before in Peter's life? Never. Never. You know, Peter said, oh, sure, we pay the tax, the temple tax. And so he comes along and Christ says, so what were you talking about, Peter? And he said, just so you don't cause offense, he said, you go catch that fish and take the first coin out of its mouth and you go pay the tax for you and me. And Peter did. How did Christ know that? He proved over and over to Peter that he knew everything. Peter, throw your net on this side of the boat. We've been fishing all night, Lord. Throw it over anyway. He does. What does he do? He brings in a haul of fish. Christ had proved to him over and over again he knew what was going on. But Peter just had a hard time believing what Christ was saying. Even after he said to the Lord Jesus that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Christ starts talking about what going to Jerusalem and how he would suffer at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be put to death. And Peter's like, no way, this is not going to happen to you, Lord. And the Lord actually says, get behind me, Satan. To Peter, he said, you savor the things of men and not of God. And so Peter's had some lessons to learn that Christ is right. He's always right. But he still hasn't really got this down yet. Let's go back to John chapter 18. And then we'll read, let's see, verse 12 here. And we'll start looking at what happened. John 18:12 says, then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him, and they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. And then in verse 15, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, I am not. Now the servants and the officers who made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and as Peter stood with them and warmed himself, the high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. And then Jesus speaks. And then we'll go down to verse 25. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, you are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Peter said this would never happen, but Scripture records that it actually did happen. Jesus Christ was right. He knew what he was saying. Peter failed. He affirmed that he would never do this. I would go to prison before I would deny you. Actually, I would even go to death before I would deny you. Even if these other guys deny you, even if they leave you and forsake you, so I will not do it. I will die with you. Well, Peter, now are you so sure? I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've failed. You've been, I'll never do that. I'll never do that thing. Never. And you end up doing it. And then how do you feel? Do you feel defeated? Do you feel like a failure? Do you feel like God can't make any use of me? And I think sometimes we are so sure of ourselves that when failure comes, we don't actually recover from it very well. Because we're depending on ourselves. Peter didn't recover very well from this. We're going to see. He needed some restoration, and we're going to look at that. But if you're in this place, I think there's a lot of people that sit in these pews in churches all through the country, all over the world, who live a defeated life. They failed. They think God can't make any use of me. He can't have anything to do with me. I failed him, but I'll just live the best Christian life I can. I'll attend meetings and I'll read the scriptures, but God can't use me. How could he use me? I've already failed him. Well, the problem is you're depending on you. And we're gonna see who we need to depend on. Did you know that Nothing you do surprises God. None of your failures take Him by surprise. They may surprise me when I fail. Sometimes I think, how in the world could I do that? How could I say that? How could I think that? And then I realize God knew all along. So He's given us a remedy in confession when we sin. But sometimes we think we're going to do great things for God, and we plan to do them, and we fail at them. We think, oh, can God ever use me again? And we just wonder, like, am I any use to God? And we may just go on in a defeated life feeling like, well, I'll be the best I can at this, the best I can. But, you know, as far as, you know, really trying to serve God, well, I'll just leave that for the people that are really called. Well, we all are called. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, all He wants you to do is be available for His work. That's it. He'll do the work. He just needs a body to do it through. And as long as you're available, He'll do the work. I just want to go on from here, and we're going to look at one more scripture about this event in Luke. Go back to Luke chapter 22, because there's something that happened that only Luke records for us. And we look at verse 54. And it's the account again that Luke gives. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But he said, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you're saying. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how He had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. So Peter's denying. And another writer says, they said, your speech betrays you. You've been with Jesus. And so what did Peter start to do? He started to curse so he could prove, no, I don't walk with this man. But as he did this, after he denied and the third time, he was in that outer court, and Jesus turned and he looked at Peter and he caught his eye, and immediately Peter remembered what the Lord said to him. That was an important turning of the Lord, because he turned toward Peter. He looked at him. Peter saw him and he remembered the words that the Lord said, that he would deny him three times before the rooster crowed. And Peter just realized he did exactly what he affirmed he would never do. He did exactly what Jesus said he would do. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Peter was a broken man. He was finished. And we're going to look at what he did after that. But Peter was broken. What was Peter's problem? It's the problem that a lot of us have, self-confidence. He was confident in himself. The most important person to me in this world is me, right? That's my problem. I'm the most important person in this world to me. Peter was the most important person in the world to himself. Not Jesus, but Peter. And so he had this self-confidence, confidence in his ability to do what he said he would do. Confidence to overcome fear, confidence to do what he thought was the right thing, confidence to do great things for God. This is what he had. Years back, there was this young fellow. He was going off to the mission field. Never been there yet. He just finished school training, and he was going off. And as I listened to him, you know, I realized this fellow believes he's going to do everything right. That I'm wrong. I don't know how to be a missionary. Nobody else does either, but he's going to go and show us all. That was his attitude. I'm ready to go. And he had this zeal, and he was going to go. And he's gone. That was a few years back. Well, life has gone on. And now when I saw him, he just came home this year, and I saw him. And I don't think he feels the same way anymore. He's a lot more humble. Because now he's actually been there, and he's realized all the great things he planned to do, he wasn't capable of doing in himself. That there's a lot of hard things he had to face, and he actually made some failures. He actually failed. I don't know anybody that hasn't failed at times. And failure actually is a good thing. Because it doesn't, remember I said, it doesn't take God by surprise. He knows you. He knows me. He knew Peter. It didn't surprise Christ that he did it, because Christ actually said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. So when he looked, he was just bringing back to Peter's mind. And we can thank God that Jesus doesn't turn away. He turns towards us to remind us of who we are. Peter, remember what I told you? What did you just do? You did exactly what you said you wouldn't do. But you did exactly what I said you would do. Peter realized, yeah, I actually did what he said. He was a failure. The flesh cannot do the things of God. As much as I affirm and try in my flesh, what do we mean by flesh? It's the human nature that we just are born with. That's what it's the nature that we have apart from God. It's the nature that contains the sin nature. It's the nature that is separated from God. And I cannot, in the flesh, do the work of God. I cannot do the things of God. And I cannot please God. Paul said that I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there's nothing good dwelling there. There's nothing good. So trying to serve God in my own ability is going to only result in failure. But God knows that. We're not equipped to serve God in our flesh. There's something missing. That's why Christ came to give us life. We need the God life in us to do the work of God. We can't do it without God's life in us. So the goal of failure is to make something happen. Peter had a lot of self-confidence. Christ said, you're going to fail. He said, no, I'm not. You can't, and you know, we do this often, but you can't really call Jesus Christ Lord and then say no to him. But we do often do that. Peter did it more than once. And he'll do it again. But he said, no, not so, Lord. This ain't going to happen. Well, you can't call him Lord and then say he's wrong. We just can't do that. But we do. So, Peter failed, and now he was aware of something. He became self-aware. And hopefully we become self-aware when we fail. Hopefully our failures accomplish something. And he became aware of who he was now, a failure. That's what Peter was. He was a failure. That's what I am in my flesh. I'm a failure. That's what you are in your flesh. You're a failure. And he had to become aware of what he was capable of. Lord, I won't deny you. I'll die with you before I deny you. You'll deny me, Peter. No, I won't. You'll deny me. No, I'll go to prison with you. I'll die with you. Even these guys, they'll deny you, but not me. I'm going to die with you. Peter, you won't. You're going to deny me three times. Nope. Well, now he knew. He did know. He's a failure. He actually did what Christ said he would do. And he learned what he was capable of. He was capable of denying the Lord who bought him. That's what he was. He was capable of turning his back on the Lord who he had walked with for those 3 years. And he probably was, when Christ looked at him, he wept bitterly. He didn't weep. It said he wept bitterly. I don't know if you've ever wept bitterly when you've been overcome by some wrong or something that you've done. And it just overtakes your being that you just realize, like, I am such a failure. And Peter wept bitterly because he was aware now that Christ was right and he was wrong. And he realized what he was capable of. But the encouraging thing is, God knew, Christ knew all the time that this was going to happen. He told him it was going to happen. God knows what my failures are. The redeeming thing about failures is that God can bring good out of our failures. He can teach us lessons that we need to learn through our failures. Peter had to learn something. Christ told Peter, Peter didn't believe it, but one thing Peter knew at the end of this, Christ was right. He knew I would do this. He knew it. He knew it. And he realized what was in his flesh. In the Bible, I have a Bible study once a week with a group of men, and we're going through the book of Matthew. And I said something once that took one of the other men a little bit by surprise, maybe, and he was actually shocked that I would actually believe this. But what I said was that all men are inherently evil. I don't know if you believe that. All men, all people, are inherently evil. There is nothing good. Paul said there that is in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. Christ described what comes out of the heart of men: fornications, adultery, lasciviousness, murders, hatred, envy, strife. There was nothing good he named that came out of the heart of man. Paul said when he was teaching on the flesh and the spirit, he told us what came out of the flesh. Nothing good. There was nothing good. So this man said, you really think that people are evil? And I said, yeah, I really do. In ourselves, we're evil. And he said, but I look at evil as people like Hitler and Mussolini and other people like that. And I said, yeah, but we have the same heart. And he just was really struggling with this concept. And he said, you know, I think there's good in all men. So basically he's saying we're inherently good, but we do evil. That doesn't really make sense. We're inherently evil, so we do evil. And we're inherently evil, so we don't do good. We need the goodness of God to do good. We need his spirit to do good. And when the rich young ruler came to Christ, he said, good master. And what did Christ say to him? Why do you call me good? There is none good but God. So in other words, unless you're willing to admit that I am God, don't call me good. Because there's none good but God. But if you understand that I'm God, yes, you can call me good. But Christ said, why do you say that? There's none good but God. So men, we cannot say men are inherently good. Mankind is not good. It's obvious in our world today. I have seen the most horrendous things done to people. And I cannot say, from my experience, that mankind in himself is good. So, we have to realize that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. So, that's the predicament that we're in. So, we need something different. So, this is Peter. Now, what's going to happen to Peter? Let's go back to John chapter 21. You can't leave it there because Christ is not finished with Peter yet. And Now remember, he said in front of all of his companions that he would never deny Christ, but even if they did, he wouldn't. He said, they'll deny you, but I won't. They'll abandon you, I won't. But they're still together, but I can imagine there's a bit of resentment among the group thinking of what Peter did and what he said. And he was actually worse than them all. The others fled and they abandoned Christ, but they didn't deny him. Peter actually verbally denied that he even knew him. He wouldn't associate himself with him. And fear had overcome his heart. So in chapter 21 of John, we have this account. In verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. What else to do? Christ is gone. They've seen him, but he doesn't stick around anymore. He's not walking with them anymore. And Peter just says, I'm going fishing. And so They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. So they're out there fishing. That's what Peter knew, fishing. What else to do? So he says to, you know, he was a fisherman. That's what he did for his living. So he said to them all, "I'm going fishing." But what do we have? We have a defeated man. So all these works he was going to do for Christ, he's here, we've seen him, but he went to the cross, he actually died. He didn't take the throne like we were expecting him to do. He didn't overthrow the Romans. We don't know what he's doing. So Peter just says, "I'm going fishing." And then Jesus called them and said, "Children, have you any fish?" And they answered, "No." So then they come to shore. And in verse 7, what he tells them, he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. This is an important thing that happened for Peter right here and for the other disciples, because they didn't know who this was yet. He says, "Throw your net on the other side of the boat and you'll catch some." And they did, and they could hardly pull the net in. And so in verse 7, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, John, said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.'" So what does Peter do? "Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land." So Peter jumps into the sea. He had to get to Christ. And Jesus said to them, verse 10, "Bring some of the fish when you have just caught." So Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although they were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" Because they recognized who it was, but they weren't sure. John said, "It's the Lord." And Peter just jumped out of the boat and ran to shore and hauled that net in. And they're still not quite sure. They didn't dare ask him, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. So the Lord had prepared a meal for them. They didn't have anything. He asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They said, "Nothing." So he made them something. So this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, now this is important, he said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Now there's always been a question of what "these" mean, and it's pretty simple, I think, once we understand what it is. Because we just looked at the account. Peter said, basically what Peter was saying, all these guys will desert you, I won't. I love you more than they do. That's basically what he was saying to Christ. I am more connected to you than they are. They'll abandon you, I will not. They won't die with you, I will. They won't go to prison with you, I will. So now he says to Peter, he's looking at Peter, and he says, "Peter," and the other guys are standing there, and this is really important for Peter. He says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these men do? Do you really, Peter? Do you really?" Now Peter's remembering all that happened. He remembers that look. He remembers what he did. He remembers... He's a broken man, remember, he's just gone through something. He sees himself as a failure. "Peter, do you really love me more than these guys do?" And what does Peter say? He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know. You know." Before he said, "Lord, you don't know. You don't know. You say I'll deny you. You don't know. I'm going to die with you. I'm not going to deny you. You don't know." And the Lord said, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. It's not going to happen. Even if all these guys deny you, I'm not going to do it." Well, now he knows the Lord knows. And he said, "You know. You know that I love you." He said to them, "Feed my lambs." There's something taking place here in the heart of Peter, something between him and the Lord. He said to him again, a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter is grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" "Peter, you denied me three times. Three times you were asked if you knew me. You would not associate yourself with me. Three times you asked, and three times you said no. Peter, I'm going to ask you three times, do you love me?" Peter says, "You know all things. You know that I love you." "Peter, do you love me?" "You know I love you." "Peter, do you love me?" "You know I love you." And then he says, "Feed my sheep." And he said to him in verse, Peter is grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things." Peter got the lesson. Do you know that Christ knows all things? Are you confident that he knows all things? He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows everything you're going to do tomorrow. He knows every thought you will have, every word you'll say, every action you'll do. He knows all things. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." "Peter, you said you would die for me. Well, one day you will die for me. You're going to glorify me in your death. It wasn't now, but it's coming." And then at the end of that, he says, "Follow me. Follow me." That is what we're commanded to do by the Lord. Follow him. Trust him. He knows all things. Don't try and work out your own future. Don't try and work out your own plans. Follow him. Walk according to what he says. Follow him. Be led by his spirit. Follow him. And Peter, during this time, there's two things that happened for Peter. He was restored to his brethren, and he was restored to the Lord. "Peter, do you love me more than these?" And he had to, I can imagine Peter looking and being embarrassed and realizing. He just said, "Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. I can't say I love you more than these guys. I can't say it. You saw it. You know what I did. I can't say that." So he just says, "You know I love you." But he couldn't say, "Yes, I love you more than these." Couldn't do it. So he's restored to his brother. Now they see him. "Okay, Peter, you're one of us now. You're not this big shot anymore. You're one of us." And then he said, asked him two more times, "Do you love me?" And he finally says in the end, "Lord, you know all things." Peter, you've got it. "You thought I didn't know, did you, Peter? You thought I didn't know that you would deny me. You thought you knew what was going to happen. You told me I wouldn't even go to death, but I did. You said you wouldn't deny me, but you did. I told you I was going to death. I told you you were going to deny me. Now you know I know all things." So now Peter has absolute confidence in the Lord. He knows all things. He's restored back to his Lord. And the Lord gave him specific things to do. "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And he said to him again, "Feed my sheep." And then he says to him, "Follow me." This is why, now you can follow me. Now you know I know all things. Now you can really follow me. I won't follow somebody I don't have confidence in. Will you follow somebody you don't have confidence in? No. If you don't have absolute confidence in the Lord, you will not follow him. You'll be like Peter, who followed him sometimes, didn't follow him other times. Because he didn't really have absolute confidence in the Lord. He does now. He realizes the Lord is never wrong. He knows what he's saying. He knows what he's doing. He knows what's going to happen. And when he says it will happen, he knows, now Peter knows that Jesus knows. And so he said, "You know all things." Now he has absolute confidence in the Lord. So now the Lord says to him, "Follow me. You know who I am now. And Peter, and later on in the book of Acts, we'd see how he testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that God made both Lord and Christ, and the bold sermon he gives testifying to who this person is, what he has done, and what he will do. He has absolute confidence now in the Lord. But something is still not quite right with Peter. Let's just read a little bit more. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, and also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one that betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Peter, you're getting off track again. Mind your business. I told you what you need to do. Jesus said to him, "If I will that he will remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So, in other words, Peter, get your nose out of John's business. I have a plan for John. It's not your plan. All you need to do is follow me. You follow me. So the Lord puts him right back on track again. This is what you're to do, Peter. You follow me. So Peter is restored. And the Lord restores his own so that they can fellowship with him, and so that they can have absolute confidence in him and follow him. If you fail and you don't feel that you're in the place that Peter is, well, then you need to just speak with the Lord. You need to talk to him about your failure and realize he knew it was going to happen. He knows all things. Nothing catches him by surprise. He knows I'm a failure. That's why he saved me. He knows I'm defective. He knows that there's nothing good in me. And so he says, what you need is me. You need me in your life. And you need me to be living in you and working through you. And then you can do the things that I'm going to do, because I'll be doing them through you. You make your body available. You make your person available. You just be available. I'll work through you. So if we will learn from him, and if we're willing to respond to him, he will restore us to himself, and he will use us in his work. So these are just a few lessons from the life of Peter, an interesting character, someone that we can probably relate to in a lot of ways. He didn't always know and realize what he was saying or doing, but he just acted sometimes because he felt like he had to. But he had to come to the place where he had absolute confidence in the Lord, that the Lord knows all things. Do you worry? Do you ever worry about things? You know why you worry? Because you don't have confidence in the Lord. It's simple as that. I worry about things when I don't trust that the Lord's got everything in control, when I don't trust he really knows what's going to happen, when I don't trust that it's going to work out for my good. That's when I worry. So if you're worrying, you have a Peter problem, that you don't actually have confidence in the Lord, that he knows all things. When we actually can do that, we can actually be in a troublesome situation, but be at rest and be at peace and experience joy, because the situation isn't ruling our thoughts. Christ is. And we just say, Lord, you can do all things. You know all things. You're capable of everything. Nothing will touch me unless it goes through your hands. I'm in your hand. You're not going to allow anything to touch me. So we have to get into this place that Peter was brought to, where we have absolute confidence in Christ. And then he just says the simple words, follow me. Follow me. Let's just close in a little prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for the lessons that we see in the lives of your people in the scriptures. Thank you for recording them for us, and for, by your Spirit, teaching us from them. Father, we do realize that Jesus Christ knows all things. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we worry about things in this world. And Father, you've actually even told us what will happen in the future, how this world will come to an end. You've shown us how Christ will reign in victory, in righteousness, and Father, how we will be with him. And we just thank you that you've opened the scriptures to us. Father, just guide our minds by your Spirit, that we might walk and live in confidence of who you are, what you're doing, what you've done, that we might be followers of Jesus Christ. We might do those things that His Spirit would do through us. We might allow His Spirit to live and move us. And Father, we just thank You for giving Your Spirit to us. Christ had to go away so He could come, and He is now our teacher, the one who directs us in life, and the one who walks as Christ would walk in us. Father, thank You for all Your grace and goodness. We just commend ourselves to You that we might walk worthy of Jesus Christ this week, not in our flesh, but allowing Him to live and motivate and move through us. And we ask these things in His name. Amen. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure being with you.